Welcome to Careertools. This is Wendy.
And this is Sarah.
Today's cast, the three most effective calendar management hacks, part one of one.
The questions this cast answers are, how can I better control my calendar? What should I do regularly to manage my priorities? And how can I handle the constant changes to my calendar?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Are you ready to take your career to the next level, but just not sure where to start? It's time for a Manager Tools personal license, your gateway to expert career advice at your fingertips. From the very first resume to landing your dream executive position, our resources cover every step of your journey. Imagine having access to decades of career advice through our renowned podcasts, now with an AI chatbot trained exclusively on Manager Tools content. Ask a question any time of the day or night, and you'll go directly to the answer. No need to shuffle through all of those podcasts. With a personal license, unlock the resume workbook, first job fundamentals, and the acclaimed interview series. Whether it's refining your interview skills or crafting the perfect resume, we make it simple and accessible 24/7. Upgrade your career strategy with the proven guidance of Manager Tools. Start today. To see where your career can go with the right tools in your pocket, career planning just got easier. Visit us today online at manager-tools.com for more information about how you can become a licensee.
Most people refer to the struggles they have with their calendar as time management, as if manage time.
I was just going to say that.
I was watching the fashions on the Met Gala that was last week or the week before, and there was one girl who had a dress that looked like it was made of sand, just like it was gonna fall off her, like they'd made it from a sandcastle. And her handbag was a sand, one of those timers, and it looked amazing. But that kind of made me think of managing time. You can't, it's just like sand, just disappears. Yep. What they really mean is priority management, and priority management is calendar management, and that's all you can manage. You can't manage time. It won't change just because you want it to.
Yeah, exactly. You could try really, really hard, but it's not going to change. It won't. All right. So the outline for today's cast, we're going to start by talking about the beauty of behavioral discipline. Then we're going to go over some calendar management hacks, I suppose, chunking, the Sunday night review, and calendar soup.
And the first part we're going to discuss is probably the boring part, but it's the part that you have to have in order to make the other parts work. And none of what we're going to recommend is hard to do. It's not complicated. It's not complex. It doesn't take a lot of preparation. It doesn't take learning. It doesn't take intellect. What it really takes is discipline. And our favorite definition of discipline comes from Mike Tyson, which is...
because it would.
Yeah. Probably not the one you and I chose, but the one someone else chose and we adopted, which is discipline is doing what you hate to do like you love to do it. And then the other one we like is the definition of a professional is one who does what they're supposed to do, whether or not they want to do it without debate.
Exactly. Now, folks, we've got full podcasts on discipline, actually, recently. We did. In an executive tools podcast, a podcast around the fact that the most distinctive characteristic of the effective executives we worked with is behavioral discipline. Executives that have this quality, this characteristic, behavioral discipline, all know where they want to go. And we're not talking about career here so much as how they're going to tackle their job responsibilities. And when they know that, they then make decisions about how they're going to get there. They set a direction, they create a plan that they believe in, and then they trust in their plan and commit slavishly to the actions in that plan. Now, today's cast is a Career Tools podcast, so you may not even be aware, Career Tools listener, that we have this additional type of podcast. And if you have only a free membership on the Manager Tools website, you could go to our website, manager-tools.com, to get what is a paid for license, a Manager Tools personal license, which will afford you access to that third podcast type. So it's not just career tools and manager tools. There's also executive tools, which is a paid product that exists for licensees on our website. So if you're interested, if you're an executive listening to this Career Tools podcast today, you may want to consider becoming a licensee.
And there's some other benefits too. And somebody the other day said to me, I didn't know you had products. And we were slightly confused. So that's one reason we're telling you right
now.
Yes,
exactly.
Because people seem to not know that we have other things. So one of the many reasons we love behavioral discipline is because it's available to everyone. It doesn't matter where you're from, what degree you have, or your age, or your gender, or your school, or your grades. And there are far too many professionals, usually younger, who have not learned the ways of professionalism and organizational life and success habits fully, who want their jobs to be fun and interesting and exciting. And there are certainly wonderful components of a role, but those components often obscure or reduce the ability to learn about those boring foundational behaviors that one has to be able to engage in to be able to get joy out of our role.
Yeah, like if you're only ever worried about doing the fun and the cool and the exciting and the shiny, there's a lot more to a role, unfortunately.
Yes.
We all have a good amount of not cool and not fun, incredibly not shiny stuff that we have to do. That's why we get paid. That's why there's a salary.
There's only so long you can live the nightclub lifestyle where you go out every night, spend your money, and eventually, it's fine when you're 18 and 19 and 20, but there is a point at which you suddenly realize you cannot go out every night and still do your job, right? It
maybe
catches up with you.
Buy groceries on Friday.
Exactly. And this isn't an indictment of young people. This isn't
a young person thing,
right? It generational management is stupid, right? That statement about learning how to be a professional or learning how to be an adult has applied to every generation for the last 100 years, even the boomers, because my dad was a boomer. And I can tell you when he was 18, he was equally stupid as I was at 18.
Right? That's the thing. I mean, it's inexperience. Mm-hmm. We all have less experience when we're younger by definition, right? Now, some young people have a lot more experience than maybe some older people, but chances are younger people have less experience and therefore just haven't experienced as many situations, haven't gone through as much stuff, haven't learned the hard lessons that some of us who've been around longer have learned. And folks, regardless of regardless of what your job is, what your role is, the fact is there are some housekeeping tasks that we all have to do every day, every week, every month, every year. And if you don't do them, there's no amount of fun or joy or excitement that a job will deliver. All the fun in the world will not make up for failure or disappointment of not achieving objectives, or not serving, or not meeting your responsibilities. You got to do the boring stuff too.
Yeah.
You got to do the boring foundational stuff that requires professional discipline.
And we want you to have all the joy the role can give you, but you won't get that joy if you don't engage in the basic foundational behaviors of effective professionals. It's like a beautiful house. If you have a beautiful house, if you move into the show home, you know, already furnished, already beautiful, it's been cleaned, it's lovely, you have to keep that house up. You can live in it for a while. And if you don't do any housekeeping, it stops looking like that beautiful house after a few weeks mm-hmm. or maybe days. It starts to look like, you know, teenage boys live there because, you know, someone
just
has
a bunch
to
of dishes stacked in a sink. It's
someone has to do housekeeping. And that's the same with every job too. And the secret is to learn to love the housekeeping because it allows you to live in the beautiful
yes.
house. There's something nice about having cleaned your house and sitting down on the sofa afterwards and seeing.
It smells good.
Yeah.
Kind of lemony.
The lines on the carpet.
Everything's shiny. I know. You're like, oh, that's nice. Look it over on top of that baseboard. Not a speck of dust. Love
exactly.
that.
Or the lines on the grass outside. You know, all of those
exactly.
things.
Exactly.
You know, there is a, you know, you're a grown up when you like to buy a new vacuum.
Oh, this may be a plug for Dyson. But oh my gosh, I never loved vacuuming so much. So much.
And your job is the same, right?
It is.
There comes a time when tidying up your hard drive becomes one of those jobs. And you can look at it and say, those files all in nice ordered lines, the trash box emptied, my calendar all sorted and neat, and you know, all of my obligations on my task list. I feel good.
I feel good. Exactly. And so, essentially, folks, this guidance is about one of those foundational tasks and what disciplined behaviors will make you effective at them. That discipline will allow you to experience the professional joy you're seeking. As a friend of ours said recently, if you're not willing to do the professional housekeeping part of your job because it's beneath you, you won't get to enjoy the joys of your job because you are beneath them.
Yeah, you have to be willing to do the rough stuff in order to get the good stuff.
Yeah, what is that? What do they always say? There's something that they say. There's something I always think to myself. The reason the joy is as joyful as it is because it's hard to do. The best things doing are the hardest things to achieve. That fulfillment, that achievement, that pride. If everything was roses and sunshine all the time, meh.
Yeah, in order to run a marathon, you have to have run a marathon.
Exactly.
Which is why, into our hacks. Okay.
So. Oh my gosh, that was good. Okay. Yeah.
Chunking, which is such a very great term for something, but it amazes us that after 16 years of Career Tools podcast, we haven't officially, specifically recommended the principle of calendar chunking until now. We've alluded to it. We've mentioned it. I think we've talked about it on newsletters and things, but we've never actually given it its own direct, specific, actionable recommendation. And so we're correcting that here and now. And if the name chunking seems kind of kludgy to you, and it does to me, that should give you an idea of how powerful and lasting this concept is. Because if a name isn't sexy and it's still the standard, it means that the name can last without marketing support.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, folks, chunking basically means this. You figure out what your annual goals are. More on that in a moment. We're going to get to annual goals, but you look at your annual goals and then you make your best guess for now of what has to be done each quarter of the year to meet those annual goals. You backwards plan what has to be done again in each quarter to get there. Chunking. Now, for the record, the way you do this is you sketch out a rough plan of what you'll need to do over the course of the year at a high level per each quarter. Now, you don't start with the fourth quarter. Even though it says backwards planning, you can start with the first quarter and move on from there. And the reason that chunking involves this backwards planning is if you do it forwards, starting with the first quarter, you still have to apply the backwards planning principle once you get to the fourth quarter to make sure everything will have been done. Again, based on rough planning by the end of the year.
And that's where the name of this tool, chunking, comes from. So rather than trying to figure out all the detailed tasks and deadlines and communications for all of your goals across the entire year, we're chunking down the totality of the work into manageable and planable smaller chunks. So you don't think I'm going to plan the entire year week by week. We're looking at, okay, what if I divide everything I have to do into four more or less the same size chunks, what would those four things? And then we put those into the calendar and work from there.
Exactly. And the way we do that, or in order to do that, is what we call backwards planning. You kind of have to work backwards from the whole year back to the start of the year, right? You need that annual goal first, the end, in order to break it down into smaller chunks coming forward into the year. And we create rough ideas of where we should be at the end of each quarter, capturing, again, very rough milestones for each quarter.
So if you were going on vacation and you wanted to go on vacation in December and you wanted to go to Australia, you have that in mind as your end goal. And then you could say, okay, my rough chunks are, I need a visa, I need a plane, and I need a hotel. Those are three rough chunks. And then you would say, okay, I need a, I need to send my passport off for the visa by September because it takes 3 months, right? So you're working backwards, but they're very big chunks.
Big chunks, exactly. Not tiny, granular, day-by-day chunks.
Exactly. And so then for the quarter we're starting in, we break the present quarter's milestones into monthly milestones for this quarter. And then we set aside the future monthly milestones and we break down only the current month's milestones into a rough estimate of weekly milestones.
Exactly. And to get from weekly milestones to actual deliverables, we only plan deliverables in detail for 1, maybe 2 weeks at a time. Don't plan too far. We talk about this a lot in when we're talking about the Manager Tools coaching model. You can set up a beautiful plan. You can sit down for hours and hours and hours and create this perfect annual plan that's going to take you an entire year to accomplish. And you may very well find out in the first 2 weeks, whoa, this is never going to happen. So we don't generally recommend you plan it too in depth, too granularly beyond the first couple of weeks, just because you're going to need to be able to adjust. And we don't want you to waste all that planning time, right? It's all because we know there's no way to plan in perfect detail an entire year. That's why the only intelligent way to get through the entire year, keeping our eyes on those annual goals, is to chunk down the whole year into rough milestones quarterly. And then when we get there, monthly goals, and finally weekly deliverables.
And so what you end up with after all this planning are the weekly or sprint deliverables, monthly milestones for this quarter supporting this quarter's milestones, quarterly milestones for future quarters, and of course, our end of year goals and outcomes. And interestingly, there are two new-ish project management / calendar management apps on the market, which are driven by AI, and they sort out, you put all of your tasks in and they sort out your calendar for you. They muddle everything around so that you can fit all your tasks in to your calendar, and they will only do up to 2 weeks in advance because they say you can't plan any further out than that.
Yeah, exactly. And what we've found is that if you spend too much time planning, you fall in love with your plan. It makes people less nimble, less agile, more desirous of sticking to a plan that isn't working anymore. It's really not. But they just fell in love with their plan because they spent so long creating their plan. And we would just rather you not waste all that time up front knowing it's probably going to change. So planning a couple of weeks out is more than enough to keep you on track. Again, because you have these larger chunks, right? You have a bigger milestones to keep you centered throughout the course of your months, quarters, and years. And folks, there are two final pieces to the career tool of chunking down. The first is a review at the end of each deliverable planning phase to determine what did and didn't get done, and rolling over those tasks that are still necessary into the next. We're going to borrow here, because some of you are probably familiar with Agile. We're going to borrow an Agile word, sprint, toward the specific planned deliverables. So, as we'll see, the perfect time to conduct these reviews is in the next bit of our guidance, the part of our guidance called the Sunday Night Review. But essentially, you're creating a world where you're making these little smaller sprints toward your goals, and then doing little assessments as you hit your milestones, just to make sure everything's on target, anything OBE drops off, anything still required gets readjusted.
So when you do the review and you get to the end of the sprint, you've learned things. The next sprint, you might not have the same bandwidth. You might have different responsibilities. And so you might have an entirely different task list. The final piece of chunking down our annual goals, or really any goals that will take more than the short-term actual deliverables planning, is a similar review at the end of the deliverables sprint, reviewing the end of each month and also each quarter. So that they're check bits to make sure that the end goal is still necessary and reasonable. So it may be that you're chugging along on your plan to go on vacation to Australia, And for some reason, Australia has stopped letting in people from your country. And, and they've decided they are no longer going to be a vacation destination. And you could be chugging along on your plan. And that big goal is no longer even appropriate. It's really easy to have a very big goal that you're just chugging along with your head down and you haven't even noticed that the big goal is no longer appropriate. So it's really good to look up every now and again and make sure that you're still going where you want to be going.
Yeah, exactly. Tracking toward the right end goals, for sure. Over here at Manager Tools, we are constantly adding more value to our group training and public conferences. Our latest edition, Project Management Professional Credits, for completing our Effective Manager, Effective Communicator, and Effective Manager training. By working with the Project Management Institute, we've gotten our training approved for you. So when you join us, you can add to your professional learning credits for no extra cost, but a bunch more value. You can get trained while collecting PDU credits today. Learn more by visiting us online at manager-tools.com or by emailing us at customerservice@manager-tools.com. Okay, so now calendar hack number two, the Sunday night review. Now, Sunday night reviews are standard. They're just essentially a standard among the majority of executives that we have known. They're really simple, folks. All it is essentially is every Sunday night, we sit down with our calendar and make sure that the upcoming week is set to be an effective week. Sunday night review.
So before you send us an email, those of you who've been listening for a really long time, complaining about us impinging on your family time and reminding us that for two decades we've been saying family first. First, let us say two things. This is the only time in 20 years we've suggested you do something outside of work hours. And then please remember from our previous guidance on priorities management that the first thing that we told you to put on your calendar was family time.
That's the thing. This is only about calendar maintenance. This isn't the priorities cast, which would be on your list. So yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And you can feel free to move this Sunday night review to become Monday morning first thing review, if that is better for you.
Yeah. Many executives tend to find it easier to do it Sunday night, because then when you hit the office Monday morning or hit your desk Monday morning, I suppose, you can hit the ground running instead of having to sit down and immerse yourself in your calendar and not essentially, let's call it, start your week until Monday at noon or however long it takes you to kind of get recentered.
Again.
Exactly. Exactly. So that kind of brings up earlier when I said we executives sit down Sunday night, look at our calendars and make sure it's all queued up to be an effective week. So what's an effective week? Well, it's simple. Does what we have on our calendar as of Sunday night, or again, the Monday morning review, meet two key criteria? One, does it reflect our priorities? And two, does it specifically give us time to accomplish the deliverables in our upcoming week that are supportive of our current month's goals? That's what it means to be effective, an effective week.
And you'll learn as you start doing this, There are many items on your calendar that aren't obviously related to your goals.
Yeah.
Anytime you start one of these kind of noticing exercises, it doesn't matter whether it's your calendar or email or anything else. Somebody told me the other day to notice when I'm sitting up straight, and I immediately noticed that I lean forward because I can't read my screen. And I'd never noticed, but that's why I'm leaning forward and my back aches. The first thing you'll notice when you start paying attention to your calendar is there's a bunch of things on there that don't relate to your goals. And some of those things you can't avoid, but there are some things that you can avoid. Maybe you don't want to. Maybe you've been putting them on there because they're fun. But those things should be removed.
And I would venture to guess, Wendy, that when we talk about just the sheer removal of items off of one's calendar, there are some individuals who are listening to this right now who are a little bit tentative about said activity. And we're not saying, folks, that removing some of these things from your calendar will be done without a little bit of tension. You may well be a little bit nervous about choosing to delegate some of these items to the floor. And if you don't know what choosing to delegate some of these items to the floor is, you can find out more about that in a Manager's Rules podcast. But essentially, stopping doing some things that you've identified as not important or not helping you meet your priority. And if you don't think that you can delegate things to the floor or you can simply stop doing them, that's okay. There are two other options, a little bit safer, a little bit comfier options that you can try out taking baby steps toward this getting rid of items.
And the first one is don't delete it, just delay it. So you just put them off into a future week. And if you can do that for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, gaining time this week for your priorities planning, you may come to realize that the delay was not a problem. It's essentially the organization telling you, because it's not delivering any consequences, that you could have deleted them after all.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, I think about this one as like reporting. Does that report you work on every week and it must be out every single week for whatever reason have to be done every week? I mean, if you delayed, could it be a once every 10 days report? Once every 14 days report? Which would buy you a little bit of time. I mean, doing that report half as often potentially. And remember, if you leave everything on your calendar that doesn't support your longer term priorities, you're just creating for yourself a different problem. You're delaying your priorities in favor of your non-priorities. And we all have too much to do to do that. The smart professional realizes that if they're going to get in trouble, it's way better to get in trouble for not accomplishing your non-priorities than it is leaving all of those non-priorities on your calendar, causing you to fail on your actual real life priorities that are incredibly important. So work on the right things first.
And to be clear, we're not suggesting that your motivation should be avoiding getting into trouble.
No.
You know, we're always in trouble. No, that's not right either. But we also know there's always a possibility in the back of our minds. But we've said so many times in the past decades with too much to do, we all have to decide what to work on and what to set aside. And there's nothing worse than hearing you didn't do a good job when you knew what a good job required and you didn't do it. Even knowing that you tried and you didn't have enough time to do what you think you could have done because you were doing something else that apparently wasn't a priority sucks. Just that feeling is horrid. And if you can avoid that feeling, it would be better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And folks, okay, you've got data. We all have data. We're being given anecdotal information constantly about our true priorities or lack thereof. I mean, if you're working on something and people keep asking you about that thing, it's a report and you send it out every 10 days and someone comes up to you 2 days after you sent it out and is like, hey, where's that thing? And you're like, I sent it out. I didn't get it, but you sent it and they got it. Data point, right? Or if you've got meetings that you go to all the time and you're getting such little value from them that you're just doing your email while you're there. Well, do you even know why you're going to that meeting? Maybe you were just on the invited list because they thought, oh, she might like to come. And you're just sitting in the room every week wasting whatever, an hour, 30 minutes of your time when they just invited you to be nice. And it's the opposite of nice to you. You don't really know all these things. And the failure to focus on our priorities is essentially the equivalent of your CEO having to announce that she didn't lead the organization well and it didn't achieve its goals in the marketplace because she was too busy dealing with a bunch of distractions and low priority tasks and issues. Now, would you forgive your CEO for that? Probably not. Probably not. So you wouldn't forgive her for doing it. Don't do it yourself.
And to be clear, just for the high C's who've now just given themselves an out for anything they don't want to do and are now like, I'm working on my priority. I don't have to do anything that anybody else wants me to do. Sometimes the thing that's your priority is something your boss wants you to do, whether you think it's a priority or not. Or it's going to lunch with someone, or it's going to a meeting that you don't think is valuable because your boss thinks it's valuable. So just be careful of what you designate as a priority making sure that you're not dismissing things that are priorities of your boss just because you don't think it's a priority.
Wendy, do we have a podcast for the Career Tools audience that's about priority identification? Would it be like Getting Goals from Your Boss? Maybe that would be the best one.
Yes, and there's some in the High C Disc series that we've talked about that before.
Because that's the part that's missing from this, right? We're making an assumption you know those priorities. So before you do these hacks, get more information about your priorities, what you should be working on, what your goals are, pull together your annual review, annual goals, those kinds of things. Talk to your boss. Hey, I think these are my priorities. This is what I should be working on this year. Do you agree? Those kinds of conversations need to happen before you start hacking around with a calendar when there aren't distinct priorities in it.
Yeah, I could just see that there was a wedge. There was a loophole.
Yeah, I was going to say the door was open a crack, so they jumped through.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And we'll go back. There's a neat benefit to reviewing your goals each week and month and quarter and constantly coming back to them and thinking about them. You will find that there will be opportunities throughout the week to spend time talking about them and communicating about them in one-on-ones and staff meetings and project meetings. And you have them close enough to the top of mind that you will be able to say no to emergent responsibilities to protect your ability to get time for your long-term bigger value work. And again, there is a podcast about saying no to work to your boss, and we need to be careful about that and how we do it. And sometimes the right answer is to say yes. And sometimes the right answer is to say no. So you need to know what the answer is. But if the right answer is no to protect your priorities, then this is a good answer.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Wendy, that takes us to the last of our hacks. My personal favorite hack is one that we have discussed in detail in the Manager Tools podcast. There's a Manager Tools podcast all about this one section of this guidance. And it is called Calendar Soup. The concept of calendar soup is simple to understand and to put into action, which is why many professionals use calendar soup.
And so most professionals use the analogy of seeing their weekly calendar as a puzzle. And they think that they have to fit all the pieces into the puzzle. And there is some calendar management method, which we don't know, but maybe other more successful people do, which allows for everything to fit in. But then all the pieces don't fit in the puzzle. So we break through the border of the puzzle, and when we work long hours and we violate the first principle, which is family first.
Exactly. And folks, you should know, you probably know this because you've probably tried it before. The puzzle analogy will make you miserable. You will very quickly realize it makes you miserable because it's completely wrong and it doesn't work for the reality which you're living in. Those highly successful people don't have a calendar management hack. I know when you look around, it looks like everybody else seems to know what they're doing and you really don't. Well, guess what? None of us do either. We just look better at looking like we know what we're doing when we totally have no idea what we're doing. In terms of the hack that many of those other professionals are using, it's that they know something that comes before the putting of things into the calendar. They have a priority hack. What they know is everything doesn't go into the calendar. The problem with the puzzle analogy is not the puzzle part, but the everything part. Not everything goes in. If everything goes in, you won't have enough time.
Yes, calendar soup makes a better analogy. Your weekly calendar is like making soup. And when you're making soup, you're not trying to fit everything in. You're only trying to put the best ingredients in to make the best soup. And now it all has to be done in the soup pot because you can't have it outside the soup pot because that makes a mess of your kitchen. And this is why I couldn't use those AI calendar management things, because I put in all of my priority tasks and it said, you can't fit that in 8 hours in a day. And I said, I have to. And it said, you can't. These things have to be done next week. And I was like, I can't. And,
right.
And we argued for an hour and it said, I can't make you happy. And I said, I won because I said, okay, I'm not using your app.
Exactly. I'm not using you app. It doesn't work that way.
Exactly. So the app is right because it's trying to make you fit it in these 8 hours, and I'm unreasonable. But this is exactly why that there is these 8 hours, and you have to put the priorities in first, and then what's left over is left over.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, there's only 8 hours in the day, right? In the analogy of calendar soup, it's the pot walls that protect the kitchen, in this case being your family, the other things that are going on in your life. And if you really want to strain the analogy, the best soup is the one that delivers the highest quality outcome from your work effort, which would be delivering on your key priorities. That would be the ideal outcome. Your priorities get done at potentially the expense of other things.
And there's one final concept that completes the soup analogy, which is when you're making soup and you have the right recipe, which is the correct priorities, and all the right ingredients in there, by definition, all of the ingredients, those calendar items, are going to be moving relative to each other as you stir the pot making soup. As long as you have the right priorities and the right calendar items, it doesn't matter how you put them on your calendar, nor how often you move them.
Exactly. They'll swim around, moving, not preventing one another from sliding around, as long as they stay within the bounds of the pot. And what effective people know is that there's no architectural solution to a perfect calendar, only choosing good priorities, putting the necessary work to achieve them on your calendar, and leaving all of the rest of the stuff out. And then not caring if those things move around due to the normal dynamism of the professional workday. They're all in a pot together. They'll get done, even though they'll move around.
And if there's a challenge to something on your calendar and it's neither a mandatory meeting nor core to your priorities, put it off till next week, which is delay, or give it to a subordinate or the floor, which is delegate.
Uh-huh.
And if it is a priority, move it around on your calendar. And if there's not room and it is a priority, shorten some other stuff, all of which would be priorities if they're still on your calendar, to make time for it.
Exactly. Or, I mean, I had a large block of time this morning to work on web pages that we're doing for a new web page launch that we're planning on doing later this year. Hint, hint, fun. And I had a large chunk of time, like a 2-hour block of time. Well, I realized an hour into it, dang it, I have to do this other thing. So I shortened that 1 hour, and then I carved off the other hour, and then I booked the other hour, I think tomorrow morning or tomorrow somewhere in between meetings to do it, because it moves around frictionlessly amongst my week, and all of the things play well together, and I can shorten them, or I can lengthen them, or I can do whatever I need to do to make them fit into my week. And calendar soup teaches us to stop shooting for perfection and just start making decisions about our priorities.
Calendar management isn't time management, because we already established you can't manage time. It just falls. The sand just falls. It is priority management. And if you chunk your annual or longer term goals into shorter and shorter timeframes, you can advance on those longer term goals on a regular basis. And if you spend some time Sunday night or Monday morning working on your calendar, adjusting it, you'll be able to keep those goals in your mind and foresee calendar challenges coming up and fix them. And when you start seeing your calendar not as a place to simply capture your meetings, but to find times for your priorities now and delegate or delay until later all your non-priorities, you'll have all the tools in place to not only put your family first, but also to win at work too. Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Wendy. That's it for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us again next week with a new topic.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.